Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and it's a big show today. We're going to have Dr. Kevin on with us again, one of my favorites, because he gives you such great medical information, and he's also really funny. You'll find that out if you keep listening, and I hope you will. We're also going to discuss your dog problems and your cat problems, so get ready to call when Dr. Kevin's on the line. We're always willing to take your calls and your emails and help you out with those problems. So for now, we've got Chris Middleton coming to us from Pets Best Pet Insurance. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, Deborah. Thank you.
It's nice to have you. How does your agency work? Can you tell me about Pets Best Insurance, please?
You bet. So Pets Best is a provider of pet health insurance, and we have nationwide coverage for pets, have a variety of different pet health insurance plans, ranging from very comprehensive in terms of, you know, think about your human health care, extremely comprehensive. We've got wellness programs and programs that cover major medical items and a wide variety of other coverages. And we also have more targeted specialty products for folks that are particularly concerned about some limited items. Like, we've got a cancer-only plan, and we have a feline-only plan that is for folks who have indoor cats and perhaps just want a less expensive, more targeted plan for their cat.
What would a cancer... Oh, that just strikes me as... I mean, isn't it... It seems to me with insurance policies, if you have it already, you can insure for it. So wouldn't the people who know their pet has cancer not be eligible for the cancer policy? Like, why would someone get a cancer policy and not anything else?
Well, that's a great point. So in general, across the U.S., no pet health insurer is going to provide coverage for a pre-existing condition. So as an industry, we advocate that folks get their pets insured at a very young age before pre-existing conditions start to manifest themselves. So the best time to insure your pet is when it's a puppy or a kitten and you don't have an issue going on. And so if and when that issue does occur, you will be covered.
Right.
So the key is to start early. And surprisingly, I think long-term pet owners understand this, but puppies in particular are very expensive. They do a lot of, well, at least in the case of my dog, a lot of stupid stuff and get themselves into trouble. And so, you know, insuring your puppy in particular at a young age is a really critical and a great idea. And then chances of having something considered pre-existing are very, very limited after that.
What kind of a puppy have you got?
I have he's about a year now. He is a mixed breed. He's a Maltese and a Yorkie, about 10 pounds. And he's sitting here in my office. And then I've got a 80-pound mixed breed that's about 7 years old. And they surprisingly managed to coexist.
Oh, no, of course they would. Separate worlds.
No, I keep them together. And at first, it was not a foregone conclusion that they were going to get together. It was a pretty rocky start, but they do well now.
Are they both boys?
I've got a boy and a girl.
A boy and a girl, and they had a rocky start. That's unusual. I could have helped you with that. It would have taken a few minutes only. No, that's what I do. I mean, I train dogs, and I really, it's just really easy to see what they need. But normally, two dogs of opposite sizes like that, they really don't have a conflict because they don't have the same interests. It's harder to get two dogs to get along where they, you know, maybe they're litter mates and they're brothers and they're rivals and everything the one likes to do, the other likes to do too. And
right.
They both can't be first, right? So that can be tricky. But this example, oh, they should be like two peas in a pod as long as you don't make them vie for your attention. Were they competing for your attention?
Undoubtedly, although yeah, no dog has to really compete for attention in our house. But it, Addie, the older dog, really struggled with having a youngster in the house. Of course, the youngster is off the scale in terms of obnoxious behavior.
Well, you know, yeah, but the thing about that is if you reward your old pet, the pet that was there first, you just make a real point. People are coming over to see the new puppy or the new kitten, and you just stop them and you say, can you greet Rex first? You might even keep the puppy or the kitten upstairs or in another room for a while. If Rex just gets the same amount of attention he always got, or Fifi or whoever it is, he won't hate the new one so much. But usually what happens is well-behaved, everybody's seen him before, Rex gets ignored, and brand new mischievous puppy gets all the attention, and Rex just starts to think, hey, I don't know about this. If I got to follow the rules, you got to follow the rules. And that can help. I like to use that. But, oh, but we're not supposed to be doing a pet training call right now, even though I'm so tempted.
I am as well.
I hope people will call the show. Maybe you'll call back next week and ask me your pet questions. That would be great. Okay, so I understand you've got 10 years behind you. What are the biggest milestones in 10 years running this company?
So Pets Best has been an innovator since its inception. It was actually founded by Dr. Jack Stevens, who founded pet health insurance in the U.S. 30-odd years ago. And he's a very innovative individual. And when Pets Best was founded, he changed the model for pet insurance in the U.S. And it's the model that virtually all companies in the U.S. are now following as well. And that is, and this is really important for consumers to understand, besides getting their pet insured early, that's just a great way to ensure they have a peace of mind without question. But we pay a percentage of the veterinarian's invoice without regard to usual and customary, without regard to a benefit schedule. So it makes
that's so much simpler, because you know, people just have no idea what's covered, what's not covered. They think they're covered, then they're not. Gets to be very upsetting for people to try and read these policies, and they're tiny little ink and huge booklets, and it looks like it's written on toilet paper. I appreciate that you've simplified this and made this more fair for people, because I do think there were some companies out there not doing right.
I think that's a fair assessment. I would characterize the industry today as much more mature and very, very interested in providing a great customer experience. I know we put a lot of effort into ensuring that our customers are happy. At the end of the day, the business of insurance is paying claims. And if you're not doing that in a simple, transparent way, people aren't going to be happy with you. Unfortunately, folks are real happy with Pets Best.
What's your favorite part of this job? It sounds like you really like it.
I really love being in the veterinary industry, or animal health industry. I spent about 18 years in high tech, and that's not a particularly rewarding in terms of the good you're doing. But, you know, we are coming up on $100 million in claims paid over the past decade, and that's growing dramatically. And what that means is we're saving a lot of pets from being euthanized. I think the average...
That's so true. It's so heartbreaking when someone has to decide to euthanize because they just can't afford the surgery. So this helps so much. I have so many questions I want to ask you, but we're running out of time. So how can people find out more? Because I understand there's a payroll deduction option. There's veterinary costs in the U.S. have been rising. So people really need to find you. So how do they find you?
You bet. So best way to find us is we've got a prominent website, and the information is very clearly laid out there. We also love to talk to customers, so I would recommend that they go to www.petsbest.com or call 1-877-PETSBEST and talk to one of our representatives. And that person can – we have a variety of plans that – like I said before, we cover a lot of different things, but we give consumers options in terms of how much coverage they would like to have on an annual basis. And our representatives or the website can explain some of the choice points on why you might want to go down one path versus another, what deductible option
Chris,
you might want to choose.
We are so close to the end of the segment. So thank you so much. This is Chris Middleton, who's been joining us from Pets Best Insurance. And I'm Deb Wolf, the host of your show. I'm from Camp Good Dog, as you know. But we'll be talking to Dr. Kevin very soon. If you want to call the show and ask him your medical questions, 1-888-627-6008. If you didn't get that, don't worry. I'll give it out later. We'll be talking about bad dogs and bad cats and sick dogs and sick cats, and we'll help you make them all better and well-behaved, because there's no such thing as a bad dog, not if you listen to Smart Animal Talk off Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
And anytime you're near,
hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's P-U-R, spray pet, .com, purrspraypet.com, or call us now at 386-310-3924.
And anytime you're near,
hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's me, Deb Wolf, on a sunny day in the rainforest in winter. 60 degrees out here and sunny. Can't complain when you're in Canada and you're enjoying that in winter. But I do feel sorry for all you people back east with that horrible, horrible snowstorm. And we've got Dr. Kevin on the line, coming from Colorado, I think, to cheer us up and make our pets healthy. If you've got a call you want to make, you want to get an answer to your problem, maybe you've seen the vet and it's just not resolved, maybe you got a question about whether you should go or not, you've got the doctor on the line today and you do not have to pay the price. 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And you can ask Dr. Kevin your medical question, or you can ask me about your naughty kitty or your stubborn, rude dog. We'll fix it today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kevin.
Thank you for having me on. It's nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear you, too. How's your weather today? Is it nice?
We're lucky. We're between storms. So it's,
between storms.
It's not quite, but it's almost springtime in the Rockies.
Yeah, it feels like springtime here. I heard tree frogs last week. They're going to be so confused when the snow comes back.
That's right.
Poor things. Is this hard on our pets when you get these freaky sort of, we call it Pineapple Express, and all of a sudden it's warm like spring and then it's cold again? Is that really bad for the dogs?
Well, I don't think it affects our dogs and cats that live inside that much. But certainly it does affect dogs, I think, that are left outside, or cats. And certainly it affects wildlife, you know, that like you said, the frogs get fooled and think that it's time to wake up and to come out. You know, the hibernating reptiles and amphibians, insects, you know, my bees, I keep beehives. During the colder weather, they stay in the hive and beat their wings all winter and keep the hive warm. And I think on very warm days, they can get confused.
Oh, I bet it confuses them. Huh. We had some calls to the SPCA. It's been up in our area, in our province, or in Alberta anyway. 1,000 more calls in 2014 than 2013. And just yesterday, they made a big seizure of, in total, because there were 60 seized earlier, 201 dogs near death. And some of them, like you're talking about, were outside and tied up and exposed to the Alberta winter. And, you know, it just sometimes you hear about these things in the news. This isn't the first time lately. It's like 3 in 1 week here where this person who's accused, April Irving, she's been convicted before for the same thing. How do they get away with it, Dr. Kevin? How do they keep somehow starting all over and opening up a puppy mill and doing their thing
that's
again.
Right. You know, it makes me sad sometimes. You know, we always say that anybody, you know, you need a license to drive a car, but anybody can have a child or a pet, you know. And so I think what we can be sad and be discouraged, or I think we can just try and educate people. And I think that a lot of this comes from, a lot of these horrible situations come from ignorance. And a lot of what you do with your radio show and all the work you do is public education.
Well, you too with Animal Planet. I've seen your show. You're like saving the day on there. It looks great. You're the hero on the show, totally. Mentoring those
well,
students
I'm no hero,
and all
but
that.
You try and make your little side of the street better. And I think, though, it starts with children. You know, I think that, you know, a respect for other, there's 10 million other forms of life on the planet besides us. And, you know, we were given this wonderful biodiversity and then given our intellect, and the rest of the animals on the planet are waiting for us to use our intellect and figure out how to not destroy the place.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because, I mean, I often think maybe the dolphins or the orangutans ought to take over. Maybe our time is done. Do you really think we're that much more clever than the other animals?
No, but we're able with the way we can use our hands, and we're able with our intellect to do some things, and also with language and with. But one great thing that we're given is our empathy, you know, and our sympathy to feel for other species and try and champion them. So
you know,
I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. I you know, I think that with conservation worldwide and with animals worldwide, I think that the biggest hope is the next generation. And when I go to schools, kids get it. I think kids are much more hip and farther ahead than we were at the same age about recycling and about a healthy respect for other forms of life.
There was a story just on YouTube last week that showed, it was a clip at a very busy train station, and a monkey had gotten injured and was knocked unconscious by the train. And this other monkey, for minutes, like almost a half hour, it cared for this unconscious monkey. And it did all these things to it. It slapped it, and it tried to get, you could see it was trying to get the circulation going. And then it took the monkey and put it, the unconscious monkey, and immersed it in water a couple times, and then pulled it out again, and then beat on its chest. I mean, it was like watching first aid. It was really like watching first aid. And then the whole platform was full of people who decided to not take their trains. There was crowds and crowds of people watching this going on. And then the monkey was revived. And it was like everybody was applauding, and I mean, it sure looked like empathy. It sure looked like first aid. Is that even possible?
Well, I think so. You know, we see film footage of remarkable things like that. You know, I think that it's not common, but I think it can happen. We see pictures of squirrels that will stay with another squirrel that's been hit by a car, or, you know, other species, particularly birds, particularly crows, who are so intelligent, you know, doing these types of behaviors.
Well, that's interesting. You know, when you talk about educating and the whole puppy mill thing, did you pay attention to that whole Super Bowl Go Daddy ad issue, the controversy that just happened? Did you catch that?
I did. And I think that we have to pay particular attention to, you know, where animals come from, particularly when, you know, 3,000 puppies and kittens are born every hour in North America. You know, and that's just North America, you know, United States and Canada. 3,000 puppies and kittens born every hour. And so, man, do we really need puppy mills when we have wonderful shelters and rescue groups and breed societies where, you know, these are not disposable lives. These are living creatures that can live 12, 15 years. And I think that I have a lot of respect for the rescue groups in the United States and Canada that, you know, breed rescue groups and rescue groups and shelters in general.
Well, for people who might not know, I think everybody knows, but GoDaddy tried to run this ad that was just promoting their usual, you know, cheap website, and they do that great. But unfortunately, they decided to use a sort of story of a little puppy being, you know, finding its way home. But the joke in the story was it was finding its way home to a breeder who then would sell it again and the puppy would come home. And they pulled it because there were 42,000 people logging on against it online within a very, very short time, and the numbers were mounting. So people spoke about that. But, you know, it did remind me, maybe 12 or 13 years ago, there was a lawsuit. Oh, we're running out of time. We're going to have to go to the next segment. Well, Dr. Kevin will be back. If you've got medical questions, 1-888-627-6008. And I'll finish telling this story, I guess. I'll start. There was this company that would sell trained guard dogs. And they were beautiful dogs. They were Dobermans and German Shepherds, purebreds, and totally trained, brilliantly trained. But there was a catch to it. There was a catch. Yes, there was. So I'll tell you about that when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Kevin, and he's a veterinarian who's willing to answer your problems today, and I'm willing to help you if your dog won't come, your cat won't use a litter box, your dog hates your cat, all that kind of stuff. Anything you want to talk about that has to do with pets or animals, and we'll discuss it on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. So stay tuned.
Itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deborah Wolf from Camp Good Dog. If you want to see my happy campers, you can check out Facebook Camp Good Dog. That's where we take pictures of them all the campers who come here to our boarding kennel, come here for training, and they seem to be extra goofy when the camera comes out. So you get to see some of that. And we've got Dr. Kevin answering your medical questions. I actually did receive a few for you, Dr. Kevin, ahead of time on email. So we'll get to those in a second. But I was just telling you how this company was convicted, actually, maybe it was 15, 20 years ago, because they didn't have video camera the way they do now. But it took a while to figure out the case. They were selling these really well-trained guard dogs, and then they were going and collecting them and stealing them back. And so, you know, it was really, really, really a scam, right? And then they'd sell them to somebody else. Oh, just something what people will do with animals. So we do have a question. Someone has sent in a very, very brief question. So I don't have a lot of detail for you. But the question is, do biopsies spread cancer? And maybe you can explain the question to everybody, because it's like four-word question, but it's pretty loaded. Do biopsies spread cancer?
That's a very controversial topic, and there's evidence both ways. There's evidence both ways. I think that by introducing a fine needle into the tumor, there are some types of tumors, particularly mast cell tumors, that are very reactive to manipulation, and there's the chance of liberating these into the bloodstream. So, excuse me, I've got the worst cold. There is a small chance. Now, you can do some things pre-biopsy to stop the likelihood. And one of the things is by pre-treating with antihistamines to cut down the likelihood of these things migrating or spreading. Some tumors are small enough that rather than just then do a little biopsy, we just remove the whole thing and excise it. But for some larger tumors or some tumors that aren't well-defined, you know, you need to do a biopsy. But I think that for the majority of tumor cells, there's good evidence that they're not. But there are some that can be kicked up and made a little bit more reactive by the biopsy. That's a great question.
Well, and I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking of the difference. Like when I had a golden retriever that was getting old, she's still around, she's still getting old, but she would have lumps from, lump on her back, a lump on her leg, a lump here, a lump there. And I would go in and they would take a needle and they would stick it in and they would take this little stuff out of it and they would send it away on a slide and then tell me, it's okay, it's just fat. That's what I got told over and over.
Right.
Okay, so that is a little bit different than when I had a red standard poodle with all of a sudden, I couldn't see one of her teeth. And I looked closely, and a Cheerio-sized growth looked like it was in front of the tooth, or maybe the gum was swollen, or maybe she'd been chewing on a bone or a stick.
Right.
I couldn't really figure it out. So I took her in.
A little growth of the gingiva, of the gum. And,
exactly.
And those are common in that breed.
So they popped it off. Popped it off, and they sent it away for tests. So are these two, the second one, to me, neither seems all that risky to the dog, but you're saying the first one is risky if it's a certain kind of cancer? It's better to remove the lump?
Well, let's talk about cancer a little bit.
Okay.
So there's different kinds. There's different types, of course. And so what we're trying to do with a biopsy or a fine needle aspirate or a smear is we're trying to retrieve some of those cells so that we can name that type of tumor, and by naming it, then we know the behavior of that cell. Is it benign? Benign tumors generally stay at home and don't migrate or metastasize to different sites. Malignant tumors have a high potential for metastasis or spreading to different parts of the body. Benign tumors often are well encapsulated, and they're in a walled off area, almost like a cyst, and often malignant tumors are diffuse and they're not well defined, and so it's tough to biopsy and get a good sample. So I think we have to be careful, and we're very lucky in that we've got board certified oncologists now in veterinary schools and in private practice that can really help us with our accuracy. And I also think that any growth that you have on your pet, if it's worth taking off, it's worth sending in to find out what it was. And then by doing that, then they find out, did they get good margins at the time of the surgery, or did they leave some cells that we have to worry about for regrowth?
You know, while you're talking about taking stuff off your pet and sending it in for testing, even though it's a little bit unrelated, in Canada, if you pull a tick off your pet somehow, and maybe we could go through the right way to do that, but if you do, and you put it in a little pill jar and you take it into your vet, they'll send it away and test it, and they won't charge you, because we're trying to track Lyme disease. So it's really helpful if you do that. Please, do that. Don't just throw it in the toilet and get rid of it.
And the correct way is to try and get the whole head, and so grabbing the head right at the skin line and turning them counterclockwise, will help.
You actually unscrew it? You don't pull it? Is that correct?
Right. You just kind of unscrew it as you're pulling and try and get the whole thing and not leave the head. There's a chance, it doesn't happen often, if you leave the head, it could become infected, but oftentimes by just doing that, but please, no cigarettes to burn the tick and make him back out, because you end up burning the dog.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that, because in Israel, when I worked on a nature reserve, they would use gasoline, not burning, just a drop, like from a Q-tip or from a dropper, onto the tick. They would put the gasoline.
Right, gasoline or ether, a lot of these different things that have, they're very volatile and have a vapor. Will often be noxious and irritating to the tick and make them let go. but it doesn't. It doesn't always happen. And so I think I'd be careful of that because, you know, gasoline or turpentine itself can be irritating to our skin and the same for our pets.
What about salt? Because I know salt kills slugs. Would salt help get a tick out or not really?
Not really.
Okay. Because people are afraid of pulling. They're afraid of squeezing or turning. They're afraid they're going to break. What if you do try to remove it and half of it breaks off in the kid or the dog or the cat? Then what?
Yeah, and I think, you know, just going to your veterinarian and they can remove it with a little magnification.
Okay, so it's not the disaster you're okay.
Don't throw your hands up. No,
it's
okay.
Freaky
right.
When you see it. Okay, so we're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We do have lots more email questions that have come in. Somebody's asking about Medicam. To Medicam or not to Medicam is the question, but thank goodness they give us a little more detail than that. And we have another question about breast cancer, this time in cats. With a side question about dogs and grain. So looks like we're going down that road today. And I have some things to add, and I'm sure you do too, Dr. Kevin. If you want your problem on our show, all you have to do is call us. Just call us. I gave you the numbers already, but here they are again. 1-888-627-6008. And you can go live with us right now. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back with Dr. Kevin and me, Deb Wolf. Stay tuned.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
Hello. Listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. If you want to hear more of my shows or find out some other stuff about dogs and cats and what I'm up to, go to DeborahWolfOnline.com. And we're talking with Dr. Kevin today. I have some more questions coming in fast and furious here. So the next one, again, has to do with cancer. Before we get on cancer, I just wanted to add to our first guest today was Chris Middleton from Pets Best Insurance, but he had two dogs and the two dogs weren't getting along in the beginning. And I told him that when you get two dogs together, a new dog and old dog, you got to treat the old dog like you always did. Still make him the most important. Make sure people greet him the most. Make sure they greet him first. Put the other dog, the cute puppy or kitten, out of the way so your old dog still gets the attention he always got. And then the other thing is make the firsts matter. Your old dog doesn't want to wait while little tiny puppy gets to get in the car first or get fed first. First matters. So let your old dog be first. Okay, I just felt like I missed that part. So now we have Dr. Kevin back. And the question, I'm not sure I can hear Dr. Kevin. Hoping so. Dr. Kevin?
No, I'm here.
Oh, there
I'm
we go.
Here.
All right. So we've just had a little bit of technical glitch. The question we've got coming in is feline breast cancer. Who knew there was such a thing? It seems my cat has breast cancer. Do dogs get this? Is this common? And what does grain and grain food have to do with this? That's what the person sent in today. And I am, when they heard us talking about cancer earlier.
That's a great question. And certainly our dogs and cats get cancer just like people do. You know, we're all exposed to the same environmental problems, dietary things that are certainly issues, and also genetic things with certain lines of dogs and cats that are highly inbred. Breast cancer is the number one form of cancer in female dogs and cats, and there is a higher incidence if they're not spayed. Remember, they go into heat. Dogs twice a year, twice a year, twice a year, and cats will go into heat every 30 days if they're not bred, so they can go in multiple times. And every time they go into heat, then the mammary glands get stimulated. So we do see, any lumps or bumps that are suspicious. I think, you know, given your pets while they're sitting on your lap or you're playing with them, you know, a good regular going over and putting your hands on them and feeling and... By knowing the normal, you'll recognize the abnormal that much quicker. So knowing what the normal belly feels like, or knowing where the lymph nodes are, or knowing what where the mammary glands are and what they feel like. So certainly they do get cancer, sadly, they do. But cancer is not the death warrant that it once was, and there's a lot that can be done with surgery, with medication, with chemotherapy drugs, with radiation. So we're very lucky. We're in a golden age of veterinary medicine as far as being able to treat some of these things that previously, I've been out of school 35 years, that previously we weren't able to deal with, and now we can. So the question about diet and cancer is a complex one. Certainly we know that in some cultures, particularly in Japan, where there's high protein, lots of fish, a lot of stomach tumors, you know, so... Well, we don't see that so much in Western society. We have other forms of cancer with diet, with too much carbohydrate, too much fat, with, you know, colonic cancer. So, yes, you know, certainly diet can influence it. And we're learning more and more about, you know, what diets and
well, you know, when she's talking about a cat, though, when she talks about grains, I mean, does a cat really need grain anyway at all?
Well, no, the cat shouldn't be on a grain diet, in fact. You know, cats didn't evolve eating a lot of cracked corn or wheat. And, you know, they're obligate carnivores. You know, dogs can get by. They're omnivorous and can deal with it. You know, if we watch wild canids, you know, they eat other things besides meat. They'll eat, you know, different plant material. But cats won't. And so, you know, I think that's a great point. That's a great point that you picked that up.
Well, I do have, like years and years ago, I had a Rottweiler who had a cancer issue. And I remember the vet even then telling me, you got to start cooking for this dog, no more dog food at all. And it should be just meat and veg. And, you know, he did live a long time after that. He had a stroke. He had a bunch of issues. But he was blind after the stroke. But he was still fierce. He was still playful and silly and all the things that he always was. But the cancer stayed. It wasn't, you know, it really didn't affect his life much. But I'm not sure why they would have said that back then. So, 'cause you're saying, you know, dogs do eat grain. But does... I remember them saying, if this dog has grain, his tumors will grow faster. Is there truth to that?
Well, I think as we have fed dogs non-traditional types of food for them, you know, as a species, we are seeing problems with food allergies and gluten, wheat gluten enteropathies, and different problems. You know, by giving them things into their system that they can't break down, you know. Cats with cow milk having trouble with, breaking down cow milk. You know, the carnivore milk, like cat milk, is very different than the types of milk sugars that are found in cows. So, yeah, I think that we have to be careful about what we're feeding them, and it has to make sense in an evolutionary type of framework.
Well, I think, I mean, if people just know the fact that when you give your cat milk from, that you would drink, cow's milk, they often get diarrhea. that usually stops them from doing it because who wants a cat with diarrhea? Nobody. And that's really usually the result. So it's no mystery there. You can tell it doesn't agree with your cat. He gets the runs, and that's never good. So, yeah, don't give your cat cow's milk. It's not a political thing. It's a house cleaning thing for me on that one. Okay, so we have another question for you, and this is Tumeticam or not Tumeticam? Now, fortunately, this man goes into the whole explanation, and I'm glad because, you know, oftentimes people, as their dog gets older and has pain, they're put on a prescription of Medicam or a similar type medicine, and they're told, you know, this at some point, this will make him a lot better and feel better and function better for the remainder of his life, but at some point, it could have adverse effects. It could, in the end, hurt him. This is what people are told. So I want to ask you about that whole scenario when you're told Medicam, should you or shouldn't you? But this person has been given 3 vials of Medicam for the 3 days following a surgery. And so, you know, they were asking me, should I Medicam or not? And I was wondering because, you know, even though the animal doesn't appear to be in pain and is quite perky, according to the email, there's anti-inflammatory properties in the Medicam. So I'm thinking your answer about a 3-day dose for a post-surgery animal is probably quite different than your answer for an elderly animal on chronic pain management. But I don't know because I'm not the doctor. So, 2 minutes. Dr. Kevin, we're going to have to come back in the next segment and decide if it's Tumeticam or not Tumeticam. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
It's a big question. Our listeners are sending, they're sending really great questions. We're on TalkStreamLive.com now. That's new as of today. You're with me now on our first show on TalkStream.com. So I want to welcome the listeners to TalkStream.com, TalkStreamLive.com, TalkStreamLive.com. That's what it is, our new audience. And just a couple weeks ago, we welcomed ham radio operators all over the world. So that was a huge addition worldwide. So we've got loads and loads of people listening to us. And we'll be back to explain to Medicam or not to Medicam. If you've got a dog or cat, usually a dog that's getting old, big dog, probably at some point you might get recommended, you might get told Medicam's your answer to prolong his life and make his senior years more active. So you probably want to hear what Dr. Kevin has to say next because it's a little bit of a mixed bag with this drug. We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio in a moment.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, your host, Deborah Wolf. And I just want to tell everybody in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where I'm from, if you want to take part in what we're talking about, Dr. Kevin and I are saying, you know, you can make a difference. There's been all those more complaints this past year because people are making a difference. They're making a difference in their little side of the street, their little corner of the world. So if you want to go out and protest chained up dogs, dogs who are locked outside, dogs who have a really sad life, then you can go to a really great location, Broadway and McDonald in Kitsilano in Vancouver, where the sun is shining and the beach is nearby and the ice cream's great. Go there Saturday at 2:00. There's a protest. And I heard at the last protest, there were almost as many guitars as dogs. So I wish I could have made it. So yeah, sometimes doing the right thing can be fun. Bring your dog. Bring your well-cared-for, happy-go-lucky dog Saturday at 2 o'clock and do the right thing. Okay, so Dr. Kevin, to Medicam or not to Medicam, two different examples. What do they have to consider?
Well, I think first you have to know what you're given. I think that many people give medications without really understanding them. I think talking to your veterinarian about what you're given and why you're given it. Medicam is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. And typically we give it for osteoarthritis, we give it for, you know, chronic pain. And so I think we have to look at the dosage and how long we're giving it. It's good for decreasing inflammation, bringing down a fever. There have been long-term studies about the safety and efficacy for it. In cats, we have to be careful because of the peculiarities of cats in general and how they react to medications. But, you know, it does work. But like you said, any drug has side effects, and the side effects for Medicam can be very real, you know, particularly on the GI tract with vomiting, diarrhea, and GI ulcers. We also can get some kidney injuries from long-term usage or for too high a dosage. So typically we give it for arthritis and for chronic pain, but we also give it for after surgical procedures like they said for 3 days that they had a liquid, a syrup that they were going to give, a formulation that was given for some pain to reduce the pain post-surgically.
Is Rimadyl the same thing as Medicam? Are they just different brand names?
No, it's not the same thing. It's a different drug.
The same.
They have
okay.
similar effects. You know, they're all inhibitors of anti-inflammatories. They work through a similar pathway, but it's a different drug.
You know, I don't think I've ever talked about this with you, but I've talked about it on air before because I find it really troubling and odd, and I just don't know how to make sense of this. It seems like, and I know this for a fact, they've now had to up security at all the concerts and festivals all over where I live and in the Pacific Northwest, so places like Washington State, because there have been young people, mostly, overdosing on a drug called K, which is actually what veterinarians use. And I believe it's called, what's properly called ketamine. Is that right?
Right. But this is
what's
old
this,
wine
what's this
in a new bottle.
Old wine in a new bottle? What? That's funny.
I mean, this is a problem that's been going on for a while. And ketamine has been abused, you know, since I was going to concerts, you know. I think it's a medication that we use. It's a dissociative medication that we use for surgery to do different procedures. There's better drugs now, so we don't use it as much. And also because of the abuse potential for it, you know, ketamine has been you don't see as much as we used to. You know, it's an anesthetic, and it's good for short-term anesthetic procedures, but there certainly is an abuse potential that we see with kids.
Yeah, I just find, I don't know. I don't know why anyone would do that to themselves. I really don't.
That drug seems, because
I've seen dogs coming out of it. You know, 20 years ago, it was more standard, and you would see dogs coming out of it, and it didn't look like a very nice thing. It didn't look like a happy dream state to me.
It looked quite troubled and jerky. There's better drugs now that we can get a smoother ride with. You know, the drug that I'm having the most problem with here in Colorado, since they've legalized pot, is dogs eating into the edibles, you know, the marijuana edibles.
Oh, yeah, especially if it's a combination, right? Like a chocolate brownie and then pot. That would really do a number on a dog.
Yeah, so we see the half-life is so long, you know, for a person, about 26 hours for a dog, 72 to 96 hours for them to wake up. So we're probably seeing one to two a day here at our busy emergency room.
Well, let's talk about that for a second then, because, you know, I've seen some really odd things as a dog trainer. Like, while I'm there giving the lesson, the dog wanting attention, desperate for attention, jumps up onto the mantle where the people say he's never jumped before and steals the man his eyeglasses and swallows them in 2 seconds. Like, why did he swallow the eyeglasses? Well, they're a cherished object. They smell like the master of the house. There's all kinds of reasons that people don't think about. Couldn't have been a good thing to swallow, glass and metal frame. But if they'll do that for that, imagine what they'll do for something that smells good, smells like food.
No, that's right. What happens with us is, you know, the person eats a quarter of the brownie in order to feel the effects, and the dog gets up on the counter and eats all the brownies on the tray. So, and he's a 25-pound Jack Russell, and now he's eaten 16 times the dosage for one person. So we really see some massive overdoses with pot in terms of the edibles. They make cookies and brownies and cakes and candies, suckers. It's incredible, all the different edibles they make here. And so I think they need to standardize them, too. The standardization is not very good, and often the stuff is just very, very, very strong.
So, wow, I think the packaging has to be improved, because I think of things like antifreeze that taste and smell good to pets and kids, and it's got like the toxic skull and crossbone, and it's a kit, you can't open it unless you're an adult. It's got that lid. Can't we start lobbying for that, Dr. Kevin? What do you think?
Well, we're trying. The problem is, you know, dogs can put such force, you know, 450 pounds per square inch, you know, on those jaws. So it's very difficult to get a package that a dog can't chew through. And you know, even if you label it, you know, toxic, they don't read, you know, and so all they know
no.
is they can
I just
smell
mean
their...
for the owner to realize, hey, like the same way I lock up my drain cleaner, I don't put this out, you know? Where can they put it? The freezer? Like, where would you suggest people stash it? Because we only have a minute left, and I want you to help them keep their pets safe in places where pot's now legal and pets are dying because they're getting into it. Where could they put it?
I think latched medicine cabinets that they can't get into, because we're seeing the same problem here in Colorado that we see in pets. We see it in children. You know, toddlers.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, four-year-olds, they can't read, but they can open the candy, you know, and get in there and do it. So I think we... You know, it just comes down to being responsible, you know, like you've always said.
They weigh so much less, so it's just so much harder on them. Well, thank you for coming today, Dr. Kevin. We have, of course, run out of time. I always do with you. I've got 3 more email questions. I've got all these topics to share and news, good news, bad news. I hope you'll come back to Smart Animal Talk.
Of course I will. I love working with you, and I love what you do for animals. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you. I hope you'll come back soon, and I hope you'll sound like you're all better.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for all you do. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That was Dr. Kevin Fitzgerald. And I wish he lived near me, because I would take all my sick animals to him, or I'd somehow convince him to come out here, maybe offer him homemade apple pie or bread or something. Get the house call fee waived if I could. But there's a lot of animals to see out here at Camp Good Dog. He might not be willing to. Anyway, you've got him when he's on with me. So next time you can call. And until then, until next week, I'll be back. Be good to your animals. From Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and me, Deb Wolf.
Ooh!